Please be seated.
Good morning and welcome to worship this morning. Just a couple of intimations before we get started. Next week there will be a retiring offering in aid of the Venezuela disaster. So if there'll be a box at the back for anybody that wants to make a donation to that next Sunday. And the cafe will be closing for a couple of weeks' holiday from the 19th of July. They'll be back to normal on the 2nd of August. It is open this week, but I'm just trying to give you a wee bit of prior warning. And just sad intimations. As I said last week, about the sad passing of Chrissy Alexander. Our funeral will take place here in church on Wednesday, the 22nd of July at 10 o'clock. And Jeanette Whitelaw, another faithful member of our church and guild, passed away as well. And Jeanette's service will be on Monday the 13th, that's next Monday, at 10:30 and here in church. Thank you.
It was really stormy, so they have to cancel a lot of activities like gorge walking because the gorge was just up high, but we had a lot of activities outside, so it was lovely. But thank God for the 40 kids who were there, approximately 40 kids and around 20 volunteers who praised God, who gathered there to worship the Lord. The thing is, it's jam-packed from half six in the morning till half eight. It's all jam-packed, so I'm really tired, and it might take me a week to recover from there. Well, thank you for the intimation, Margaret. And yes, we have news which we don't want to hear for our elders who are faithful, committed to their church, to the Christianity, to the world, and to their communities. But you can surely, I can assure you, at least I met the family and they are. Thank you.
Can you please join our hearts in prayer again? God of grace and God of glory, Lord, we are here to worship you. We are here to adore you. Lord, you are our maker. You are our good shepherd. And yes, Lord, you are our savior. Our savior who died on the cross 2,000 years ago to save us from the chains of slavery, from the slavery of sin, from the sin which governs our life sometimes. You lift us when we are low, Lord. You study us when we are unsure. And you call us into life through your Son, Jesus Christ our Lord. Without him, we are nothing, Father. But in him, we find hope, strength, and we can find a new beginning as well. Lord, you are the one who speaks to us even now. Even now when we are in this mighty pit, when we are walking into the darkness where we cannot come out of. But you are the one who says, stand up. Stand up, take your mat and walk. Lord, we praise you for your mercy, the grace that meets us where we are. And Lord, for your love, that love that never let us go. Merciful Father, at the same time, we would like to confess our sin before you, because we love the habits which we call, the word called sins. We love those friends who make us and take us places where we shouldn't be. We have some habits, we have some ways to do things which we don't want to change, but we want to change you. Lord, we confess. We confess the places where we have sat too long on our mats, the table you ask us to get up from. We are waiting for life to change instead of trusting your voice and your will. Lord, we confess our fears, our excuses, our pride, and the ways we have looked to everything but not you for help. Forgive us for the times we have lived on as soon as life, waiting for circumstances to fix what only your grace can heal, Father. What only you can fix in us, because you are our creator. God Almighty, please clean us, restore us, and set our feet again on the rock, not an ordinary rock, but the Christ who is a cornerstone. Teach us to walk in your ways and to follow your word and your will with joy instead of complaining. Gracious God, we give thanks. We give thanks for Jesus who meet us in our weakness and raise us to a new life. Thank you, Lord, for the cross that saves us. That saves us from sometime from us. The resurrection that strengthens us. And the Holy Spirit that stirs our hearts when everything around us feels still. Thank you for your faithfulness in our homes, your comfort in our grief, your kindness in our churches, and Lord, your goodness in every ordinary day. Lord, you have been generous beyond measures, and we thank you with our full hearts, Lord. So as we gather here to worship you, Lord, please accept our worship. Please accept us and encourage us to leave our mats behind or carry them, but be in your kingdom. In the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord, we pray. And we also join our hearts in praying together the prayer Jesus taught his disciples to pray together as a family and say, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Amen. Now may I please request Jim to come forward and do the reading. Our reading is from Romans chapter 13, verses 11 through 14, and then Gospel according to St. John, chapter 5, verses 1 through 9. Please listen to the reading carefully, because my reflection is based on both of them, Romans 13 and John 5.
Romans 13:11-14. Besides this, you know what time it is, how it is already the moment for you to wake from sleep. For salvation is nearer to us now than when we became believers. The night is far gone, the day is near. Let us throw off the works of darkness and put on the armour of light. Let us walk decently as in the day, not in reveling and drunkenness, not in illicit sex and licentiousness, not in quarrelling and jealousy. Instead, put on the Lord Jesus Christ and make no provision for the flesh to gratify its desires. John 5, verses 1 to 9, Jesus heals on the Sabbath. After this, there was a festival of the Jews, and Jesus went up to Jerusalem. Now in Jerusalem, by the Sheep Gate, there is a pool called in Hebrew Bethzava, which has five porticos. In these lay many ill, blind, lame, and paralyzed people. One man was there who had been ill for 38 years. When Jesus saw him lying there and knew that he had been there a long time, he said to him, "Do you want to be made well?" The old man answered him, "Sir, I have no one to put me into the pool when the water is stirred up. And while I'm making my way, someone else steps down ahead of me." Jesus said to him, "Stand up, take your mat and walk." At once the man was made well, and he took up his mat and began to walk. Now that day was a Sabbath. Amen, and may God bless you as the reading of his word.
Thank you, Jim, for the reading. Beautiful reading, isn't it? And I believe you must have read this passage in John 5 and John 13 many times. But what I would like to share with you, maybe not even line verse by verse, but I think it's very important what we need to understand from this passage as it is. 38 years, a long time. 38 years. Is there anyone here who's younger than 38 years? Good. You don't know what 38 years look like. I'm 45. 38 years with one illness. 38 years, the mat, which is 6x4, become this man whirl. 38 years. And then he encounter Jesus Christ, the living God, the Son of God, the healer, the rabbi, the Savior, God. And Jesus asked him, "Do you want to be healed?" Did he say yes? Tell me, did he say yes or no? What did he say? He gave an excuse. He gave an excuse to Jesus Christ. He said, "No, I don't know. There is some healing over there, Lord. Over there." And here Paul is addressing the same issue in the life of Romans and life of us. He said, "You know what time it is? Do you know what time it is? That how it is already the moment for you to wake up from sleep." Paul is trying to shake them and say, "Get up, walk, stand. Because it is the time for you to come out of sleep." Now, I go to different churches, listen to different preachers, attend different camps and organizations and crusade, and so many things I have attended in my life. And let me tell you, my friends, there are so many Christians who are so-called be Christians are sleeping. And Paul is wise enough to tell them that you're all sleeping. Wake up, because because you know what time it is? Now, he's not asking chronological time. He's not asking them to check their clock or look at the sun and tell them the chronological time is 2:10. No. He's asking, are you not even able to tell what time it is? Time is there. Now, on the top, Bible, as you know, Bible do not have any verses. Numbers, I should say. Or chapters. Bible is one book, as you can see. Somebody has chose to do that. I think it was 1948 that decided to add Bible verses in there. Maybe before that. I don't remember, certainly. But if you see that, Laura Jane, go back to the reading. What does it, the title? Can you see the title? Go back, the first reading. What's the title? What does urgent means? Urgent means that there is a fireman standing outside when you are in the burning building and he's saying, urgently, come out. Immediately, come out. That's what urgent means. That urgent means that if you stay there, you're going to die. You're going to lose your life because you're stagnant, you stop, you are not moving, and you are in the firing building, and this building will collapse on you, or you will die in this darkness we are walking in right now. So get up. It's an urgent appeal, what Paul is saying. For salvation is nearer to us now than we become believers, my dear friends. It is our last days. It's the end time when Paul is urging you again, wake up. Stop doing what you're doing right now. If you are indulging in some of the habits which pulls you more towards the world, if your habits, if your friends, if your daily routine, if your work, if your school, if the way you do things, if that is pulling you more towards the world, give up. Leave that. Surrender it. Leave it, because the salvation is now near. The night is far gone. The day is near. How many of us walking in that day, my friend? This man for 38 years didn't walk in that light. But when the Christ arrived in his life, he still didn't recognize him and said, over there, Lord. Let me tell you a story. Have you ever heard of a broken window theory? Maybe not. Let me tell you why I'm sharing this with you. In 1990, New York. Ever any one of you been to New York? Yes, New York, beautiful place. Is that right? All shiny streets and big buildings and, yes, crime, but a lot of good things, right? In 1990, it was a filthy, filthy place. Crime was top-notch, flesh trades were going on, drugs and crimes and knife crimes and gun crimes and all sort of things going on. And people were really suffering and struggling in that city. In 1993, there was a new mayor was elected called Rudy. Let me get your name for that exact name. Rudy Giuliani. Rudy Giuliani was 1993 was elected, and then he set up a new force and a new police commissioner called William Burton, you can call it. Everybody said, now there's going to be some action, right? Because the new commissioner is assigned, the mayor is assigned, and the criminals will be finished. So they called a meeting and everything, and they said, well, we need to take some actions. Is that right? To bring the crime down? And everybody said, yes. We are ready with our guns to kill all these criminals. He said, no, no, no. What you need to do is, we need to clean our subways. We need to clean our subways. All the graffitis, all the windows which are broken, all the parts which are broken, we need to fix them. He said, that's not our job. We are police officers. And everybody was expecting something big from us. He said, no, just do what I'm asking you to do. So it was all published. Now in the media was criticizing. Everybody was expecting something major actions. What they're doing, they're taking a job of a cleaner. So they did that anyway. Within 2 years, the crime came down 56% in New York. How? Because they fixed all the broken windows. They cleaned all the graffitis, all the filth which was there, they cleaned it. You know why? Called a broken window theory. If you wake up from your bed and you don't make your bed, that sends a signal to your brain. If you eat your dinner in the night and don't do the dishes before you go to bed, that sends you a signal in your brain. If you don't hoover your house, if your house is filthy, now I'm not saying if your house is filthy, you are doing something wrong, but that tells a signal to your brain that even the filth and the sin and the dirty dishes are okay. And that change, that makes your habit. That's the reason we sometimes get immune to sin so much that when sin comes in our life, we take it as an ordinary day, as an ordinary habit. It's fine. What is wrong in that? Especially with our youngsters, because it's their books telling them it's okay to do the sin. The society is defining sin instead of the Word of God is defining sin. That's called broken window theory. That if you change one thing in your life, that will make an impact on your brain and that'll change your whole structure. That's what this man who was sitting on the mat wanted in his life. And the Christ was ready to offer him. But he was still waiting for something to happen, isn't it? Waiting is too bad, my dear friend. Let me tell you another story. In 1912, what happened in 1912? Something major. Say it loudly. Titanic sank, isn't it? There was a man named Stephen Barr on that Titanic ship. He was a deckhead. He was working on the deck, and he was a runner, okay, in 1912. He was a guy from Belfast. So he was working there. Anyway, the ship sank, and he got a plank, and holding onto that sank, or on that plank, so that it won't sink, right? His body from this side lower was all in the freezing water. Well, he was rescued up after 4 or 5 hours, and he was paralyzed from bottom from this side. And the doctor said, you will never, ever be able to walk. You won't be able to move your legs. You will never be able to do it. You know what he did? He refused to get into that idea. He refused. He said, God, if you chose me to be a runner, I will do everything in my capacity to do that. And God helped him. He said that. God helped him. He started to wiggle his toes. And then a few months later, he was keep wiggling his toes. And after a few months later, he started to move his heel. And then a few months later, he started to move his legs. After a year or two, he was able to bend his knees. After 5-7 years, he started to walk. And after 9 years, he attended a charity race. He ran in that race. And then later on, he ran into a championship and won a championship as well. The news which was published for his name, it says, the man who outrun the Atlantic. The man who outrun the Atlantic. Go and read the story of Stephen Barr. A man who was not able to even walk at one point, now become a champion with the strength of God, because he don't want to wait on his mat, waiting for his circumstances to change. He decided that he can do something which no one else could. The medical cannot do it. The doctors cannot do it. The scientists cannot do it. He can do it with the help of God. Are we doing it? Or are we stuck and sticking to our mat, glued to this world, which is called sin for us? When Paul is saying, the day has come, the night has gone, the day has come, walk into that light. God bless you all. Can you all stand once again and sing our next hymn, 533, Will You Come and Follow Me? Will you come and follow me? Please stand if you're able.
Thank you.
be seated. 38 years. It's a long time, as I said. The 38 years in today's gospel, man has sat on his mat. Must be filthy, must be dirty now, because he sat on it for 38 years. Day after day, same routine, same disappointments, because no one was there to carry him to this pool when it bubbles. Same hope that never rises. He waits, he watches, he wonders if today will be finally any different for him and for so many others as well. But the things doesn't change itself, my dear friends. You have to change them. His mat has become his whole world. 6x4 world, that's it. His life is stuck. He cannot see that the living water he longed for is not in the pool. The healing he's looking for, the saving act he's looking for, what he can achieve is not outside of him in that pool, but in the God who stands before him. The living God, the Son of God, the Messiah, the Savior is standing actually in front of him. He has convinced himself that life will bubble up somewhere over there for him. In that magic pool, in that magic pool which is never there sometime in our life. So he stays on his mat waiting for something outside him to fix what is inside him. Isn't that our story as well? Isn't that story that we want something outside to come and fix our inside? People believe in that pool. Again, superstition, evil spirit, angels, work of God, we don't know. People believe that pool of Bethesda had healing power. That an angel would stir the water, it would bubble, and the first one it would be in would be healed. So this man refused to move until he sees the first bubble. He is living as soon as life. Now you'll say, Harrison, what is as soon as life? Let me explain it to you. As soon as the water bubbles, I'll get up. As soon as I reach the pool, things will change. As soon as I get in, my problem will be solved. That's the belief of this man. We all have this pool of Bethesda, my dear friends. All have this magic pool somewhere in our imaginary figures. In that imaginary place, we all have our own illusions, our own place where we think life will finally begin. We tell ourselves that life is nothing more than our circumstances. And that hope is always somewhere outside us instead of inside us. We start living as soon as life. You know that feeling, don't you? I know that feeling. I say this to myself so many times. We say it sometimes quietly to ourselves or sometimes out loud to our family, to our friend. As soon as this happens, remember, listen, as soon as this happens, I'll be happy. As soon as that changes, my life will be easier. As soon as things settle down, I'll be fine. Have you said this to yourself? So often. Children say, as soon as I grow up, don't we? Adults say, as soon as I get through this, as soon as I graduate, as soon as I get a job, as soon as I get a rise, as soon as I get a better job, as soon as I get married, or as soon as I get out of this relationship, right? As soon as I have more time, more money, bigger car, bigger house, a better place, a better neighborhood, a better place to work, a better place to school or university or whatever. As soon as he changes, as soon as she apologizes, right? As soon as I feel better, as soon as I get through this season, as soon as they do what I want, as soon as I get my holiday, as soon as I retire, escape to the hills or the sea, right? As soon as I get over this grief, as soon as I lose 10 pounds, right? New Year resolutions, as soon as I again lose 10 pounds, as soon as, you fill the blanks, as soon as. How would you fill that blank today? As soon as this will happen, my life will change. What are you waiting for, my dear friends? What are you waiting for? Sometimes people think, as soon as I do this work, God will love me. As soon as I'll do this, I will be saved. And we just forget about what God has done 2,000 years ago in our life. Satan will ask you to do as soon as you do it. And Christ will say, it is done 2,000 years ago on the cross. So what are you waiting for? What has put your life on hold, my dear friends? How long have you been staring at your own pool of Bethesda, hoping for the bubbles? Bubbles will come, you will jump in, and life will be different. Now, the trouble is, there will always be another pool, my dear friend. Even if you get through one as soon as, there will be another as soon as waiting for you. The pool of Bethesda will be waiting for you. Meanwhile, life is paused, isn't it? We sit on our mat, imprisoned by our own circumstances, because we keep blaming our circumstances. I'm not responsible. He is. She is. My job is. My work is. My circumstances are. As soon as. The man in the story is so trapped that when Jesus asks, as I already said, do you want to be made well? He didn't say yes or no. He started giving excuse. That's what you and me do, don't we? That's what so many religions do. When Christ asked them, do you want to be made well? They said, well, we don't have this. Why should we have to accept you only to reach to heaven? Yes. Do you want to be made well? Answer would be just yes, instead of an excuse. I don't have anyone to help me. Others get there first. People cut in line. Jesus is not looking for your excuse or your opinion about it, as I always say. Here's the truth, my dear friend. If we aren't living the life God calls us today, the salvific life, the walking in the day, if you don't do that, we probably won't live it tomorrow either, no matter how many as soon as hurdle you cross and jump. How we are here is usually how we are there. Unless Christ changes you, you will sit on your mat and complain. Well, I'm not saying circumstances don't matter. They do. You will say, Harrison, you don't know what am I going through. I do. I go through the same circumstances. I'm made up with the same flesh and blood. So whatever you're going through, I've seen that always in my life too. Circumstances do matter, but they do not define us, isn't it? Life is not found outside our circumstances, but within them. To believe otherwise is to keep chasing the next pool of as soon as. Jesus does not help the man into the water, did he? Did he say, okay, let me take you to that Bethesda pool so you can be healed? No, he didn't. He comes to him on his mat. In a very place, the man wants to escape. They speak resurrection life. He said, get up. Get up from your mat. And more precisely, he said, stand up, take your mat, and walk. Isn't that Christ speaking to us today? Stand up from your circumstances. Leave your mat. Carry it with you and walk. Walk from darkness to light. Leave your old friends behind if you need to. Leave your job behind. Leave your habits behind. Leave your sin behind, because you're not made for them. Psalm 1 says, blessed is the one who does not sit with the wicked. Have you ever thought about it? How many of us sitting still on the same table where Jesus don't want us to sit? Sometimes think about it. The man does not leave his mat behind, my dear friend. His circumstances were real, very real, but his new life begins within those circumstances, not apart from them. That's true for you and for me. God may not change your circumstances. If you are broken, you'll be still broken. Somebody asked me, where do you keep your money, Harrison? And I said, in a different nation. He said, which nation? I said, hallucination. Did you get that? No? You can laugh. You didn't get that? It's a joke. Well, okay, that's fine. Don't worry. Jesus doesn't always change our outer situation, my friend. He sometimes doesn't change our situations. He sometimes doesn't heal us. He sometimes doesn't give us prosperity. He sometimes don't bless us either. He never offered happiness to us. Jesus never in New Testament talk about happiness. He talk about joy. Joy in your suffering. He sees more of us than we see of ourselves. Without him, we are nothing. We are stuck, stagnant, waiting for a bubble that never comes. But with him, everything changes. He calls us into new life, into new ways of seeing, thinking, speaking, acting. And he calls us to walk in the newness of Christ in the light. Let me tell you a historical figure. Do you know William Wilberforce? Do you know him? Yeah? He fought for slavery. Okay? For decades, he would like to end the slavery. He faced decades of defeat as well. Decade of defeats. His circumstances didn't change, my friend. The year by year, Parliament voted him down. They don't want that slavery to get away. But he keeps standing up with Christ. Christ changed him. Not his circumstances, Christ changed him as a person to stand firm on his ground to end slavery. He kept standing up, taking up his mat and walking. Not because the pool bubbled, my dear friend, but because Jesus has already given him life, the resurrected life he offered on Easter. And through that perseverance, history changed. History changed, as you know. That doesn't make life easy, I believe. It doesn't remove grief or struggle. Yes, it doesn't. But it means we face our circumstances from a different place. The pool loses its power, my dear friend. Freedom replaces imprisonments, and creativity replaces inactivity. The stagnant waters begin to bubble, not out there, somewhere in the imaginary world, but within us. The life Jesus offers does not happen as soon as, my dear friends. It happens here, now, in this moment, because he already gave you his life 2,000 years ago. In our circumstances, he may not change circumstances, but he is ready to change you. Are you ready to be changed? Because we have a part to play for ourselves, for one another, for our community as well, to take Jesus forward there. Are you sitting on your mat? Are you? Are you waiting for the pool to bubble? As I always say, Easter is not a day. It's our daily life. So my dear friend, Easter is here. Tomb is empty and Christ is risen. He's there for you already. And he said to you today, this morning, stand up, take your mat and walk. What does that look like for you? What is he asking of you to do? You need to answer that question for yourself. God bless you all. Can you please all stand once again? Sing our next hymn. 470, Jesus shall reign where the sun. Do we know this hymn? Yes? Let's all stand and sing it. Thank you. be seated. May I please request Stephen to come forward and pray for us, please.
Let's pray together. Our Father, as we come before you today, we are thankful for the great salvation you have provided us through Jesus Christ. And though we are unworthy, you have poured your love and grace upon us. You have given us new life in Christ and a future full of hope. We ask that you would continue to fill us with your wisdom and guidance, and that we would worship you by living the life of Christ daily. We pray you would use us to bring blessing and salvation to the people we meet, and that you would fill us daily with your Holy Spirit. We pray for your anointing on those who are in leadership in our church, for those who lead and teach in the church and in the groups, and also for all those who perform the many humble acts of service to others. We bring before you those who attend our services and our groups, that they may experience the presence and power of God and find comfort, encouragement, guidance and challenge for their daily lives. We especially remember those who are mourning at this time. We pray for those who are lonely, sick or in despair, that you would draw near to them and supply all their need. We pray for revival in our churches and in our country, that people would have a hunger and thirst for God in this materialistic and damaged world. We pray for the visit of the Logos Hope Gospel Ship to Leith this month, that it will be a fruitful visit and that many people will find Christ through its outreach. We'd ask that our politicians would look to God for the answers to the issues that confront them and for guidance on how to rule justly. We pray for peace in our world, and especially that the conflict in Ukraine, Gaza, Lebanon, and Iran would end soon. In the words of Psalm 122, we pray for the peace of Jerusalem. And we ask that Israel would feel safe within its borders so that all warfare can stop. We long for a lasting peace there and in the many areas of conflict throughout the world. And we ask you, God, to intervene. We remember the people made homeless and helpless by these conflicts throughout the world. And we think especially today of the many thousands affected by the earthquakes in Venezuela, as well as by other natural disasters elsewhere. We ask you to guide us in our prayers and teach us how to trust in you and to be at peace rather than being anxious. Help us to spend time with you, to know your peace, and to become more like Jesus in our Christian life. A prayer for today. Almighty God, your Son Jesus Christ has taught us that what we do for the least of your children, we also do for him. Give us the will to serve others as he was the servant of all, who gave up his life and died for us, but lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen.
Dear all, can you please stand again and sing a closing hymn, Christ is Mine Forever. And I hope you know this hymn. Audrey will play it first and we'll be able to sing that. Christ is Mine Forevermore. It's sung by Sri Light. Very good. please remain standing while we pray for our offering. Father of all goodness, you open your hand and sustain every living thing. You guide us, you provide for us, and you lead us into the life Jesus gives. So we place these gifts before you with grateful hearts, Lord. In these plates, in these bags, and many other ways we share with you and with your people. Use them to strengthen your church, to bless our neighbors, and to shine the light of Christ in places that feels forgotten. Shape our giving into an act of love, and let bear fruit that honors your name. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord, we pray. Amen. I see the blessing of God. And as you go, may the Lord Jesus Christ steady your steps, lift your spirit, and fill your days with his peace. May the Father surround you with his care, and may the Holy Spirit guide you in every good path. Walk in the strength he provides, and carry his hope into the week ahead. In the blessing of God, the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit be with you, now and forevermore. Oh.